Morning all. Good to see you all here. Hopefully the sound system holds up. So I'm here today because it turns out I'll be away when I'm down to Exalt next. So for good or bad, here I am. So when I was looking for ideas to share with you today, I was reading an article about reading the Bible. And it made a point of saying how it's such a good idea to draw on the experiences and knowledge of others. So I'm following with that idea. In the article, I came upon another good article from the Tidings magazine in 2001. I've adapted that for my Exalt today. So hopefully none of you have been looking through the older magazines recently. 2001, yeah. So the article was titled A Positive Review. And I just want to read out the opening statement of that article. And he started as follows. This morning, the exhortation may be a little different than what we're going to review our position in the truth from an entirely positive viewpoint. I think we're probably pretty good at the positive here in the Bay of Plenty, but I'll follow through anyway. So often we're reminded of our failures and we're given insight into how far we missed the mark and fall when it comes to the high calling in Christ. So while it is important to recognise where we fail and take note of our motives so in order that we can grow and improve, there's a danger that we can become discouraged, disappointed, or even sad or depressed because of it. Especially in recent times, not really in recent times, but always it's there with being bombarded by negative things in our environment, in the news, other media. And it provides us with an ongoing stream of often negative reports, accidents, crimes, and other people's personal issues, problems. And this continuous exposure to that sort of thing, it can affect our way of thinking and draw us in, leave a negative impression, and maybe in turn affect the way we react to others around us, both good and bad. Maybe it'll subconsciously lead us to look for the flaws in others. Maybe it can make us judgmental of our brothers and sisters. And maybe it could cause us to ascribe wrong meanings and people's or wrong motives to what people do. But we know that loving kindness cannot thrive under these conditions, can it? So let us build up a positive attitude by drawing from Scripture and following and allowing it to exhort us. So first up, I want to consider an adaptive version of Paul's message in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 2 and 3. It's all pretty short, so you don't really need to turn it up, but feel free. So 1 Corinthians 1, verses 2 and 3. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to you who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the Greek, the word sanctified and saints there, they mean made holy or morally blameless or special. So, let me ask you this. How often do we think of ourselves as sanctified saints? I think we're probably more inclined to think of ourselves as sinners and maybe very undeserving of God's love. And while this may be true, we may think these things, there is another perspective to this, isn't there? Being that in Christ we have been changed. So from 1 Corinthians again, chapter 6, and verses 9 through 11, we read, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So the emphasis in this passage is on were. Some of them were like that before their conversion. And they could have been described as very wicked in some cases. But they've now been justified and regarded as righteous through the cleansing blood of Christ. And although few of us, if any, have backgrounds like those from Corinthian society, there's not one of us here who has a clean record, is there? And we don't regret past deeds or past behaviours. But thankfully, God's dealing with us as sinners is very consistent, and it should be a source of great encouragement to us to remember that these previous transgressions, they're wiped out at baptism, and not only that, but ongoing forgiveness is ours when we acknowledge our errors and ask for that forgiveness. So forgiveness is just one of the many wonderful blessings given to us, isn't it? And we can clearly see this when Paul addresses the Ephesians. So Ephesians 1 and verse 2 and a couple of verses after. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he prepared us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. So what was written to the Ephesians is also very applicable to us, isn't it? We are redeemed by the blood of our Saviour Jesus, and we've been blessed above measure and exalted to a place of honour, and that we've been chosen by the foreknowledge of our God, the great Creator of the universe, who has adopted us as children. So again, we see a similar thing by the Apostle Peter, where our Heavenly Father has selected for us a specific purpose. So 1 Peter 2, verse 9, we read, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." So, diving back, well, in the King James, it has peculiar people rather than people for his own possession. And something peculiar today often means it's weird or it's odd. But in the Hebrew, it means a special treasure, or as my ESV version puts it there, people for God's own possession. And if we follow this idea, that same Hebrew word is found in the book of Malachi. I'll read it from the ESV again. Used a slightly different word, but "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, and that day when I make my treasured possession, when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him." So it's an amazing concept to think that we're considered as these special treasures of the Creator of the universe. So what could be better than to be God's treasures, or jewelry, as some versions put it? So in the past we were crude, unpolished stones, but God, he's working in our lives to transform us into precious gems now, so that we fit into the kingdom to come. He can do great things with us as long as we commit ourselves to him and his purpose, obviously. So at times it's very hard and all too easy to despair, isn't it, when we slip from God's way. But we can find comfort in remembering that the Lord really desires that we achieve the kingdom. And in Luke 12, verse 32, we read, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, just if we consider the waywardness of Israel in Isaiah 1, verses 4 to 6, I'll just read it out here. "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly, have you forsaken the Lord? They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds." So, amazingly, in spite of all this wickedness, God was still willing to forgive them, wasn't he? And if we keep reading down in the same chapter there, so Isaiah 1 verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. For though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." So David, after one of his sins, voiced the wonder of having his sin forgiven. Psalm 32. "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord commits no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." So the realization by David of just how much the Father forgives us is amazing, and it serves to deepen our love and appreciation for him. So remember the woman who came to Jesus in Simon's house. She washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And when those at the meal rebuked her, the Lord replied, and this is in Luke 7, "Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much, but he who is forgiven loves, but he who is forgiven little loves little." So, acknowledging the sure blessing of God's love, forgiveness, and his concern for us, it impacts the way we live, doesn't it? So when considered, it helps to make us kinder, more understanding and patient, less harsh, hopefully less judgmental in our interactions with others. So when difficulties come, we will face them with the knowledge that God is in charge, that we may come to, well, that many have come from him as experience to help us grow these troubles. So we can view problems and receive them in a manner described in James 1, verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces patience." In Luke 6, we read, Jesus said that we are blessed in difficulties, starting at verse 22. "Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil, and on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets." So understanding God's plan and purpose, along with his work in our lives on a personal basis, helps us be more able to cope with irritations and problems. And although you say, "But James, how do problems help us?" Well, you know. And that's when we just remember that we can consider troubles as blessings. They're preparing us for something yet to come. Maybe an instance later in our life. Or maybe to more fully develop our kingdom character now. So as we wrap up today, we remember that we are sinners and we do need Christ. We need God's grace. But if we take a note straight from Psalm 103 verse 10, God does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. All of our hopes, they rest in the Lord's mercy and love, as evidenced by the provision of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, whom we come to remember now. So God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. These uplifting concepts we looked at today is just a small reminder to keep thinking on Christ and his example. An example that we can follow to strengthen our character, to be like his, to serve and guard against these negative things that could possibly impact us when they come our way. So we're about to partake of the bread and wine, emblems that remind us of Christ's death, but more importantly, emblems that remind us of one of the most important and positive events in history, the resurrection of the Son of God.